Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad. And I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Four Center podcast feed, and this particular episode is a deep dive. We're going to deep dive into Patience. No, not the song by Guns N' Roses. We're going to get that reference out of the way. We are going to dive into the concept of patience as discussed in this little movie television book series, Star Wars. I'm very excited. I can't, in fact, wait to get to our conversation about patience. I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
I'm Ken Napsok. I am so glad you just got the Guns N' Roses in up top. I would have been disappointed if we did this whole episode and you didn't mention one of your favorite bands of all time. So yeah, that's good stuff. Happy to be here.
Had to get it out right away, and it will be playing lightly in my head, and I'll probably listen to the song when we're done recording just to get it out of my mind. But for now, let's dive in. As always, we want to let you know that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. You can get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/4center. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. This week, we are recommending Out of the Shadows by Justina Ireland. It is the next book in in the High Republic series. Ken and I both have this in our to-read piles. You can have it in your to-listen pile and be all caught up when we do our discussion about the book. If you want to download your free audiobook, you can go to audibletrial.com/4center. Again, that's audibletrial.com/4center for that free audiobook. But that's not all. We have another offer.
We do indeed. Inside Editions, publisher of a ton of great Star Wars books, is offering 35% off across their website with a special Force Center code. To get your discount, enter the coupon code FC35, or visit the website with this link, insideeditions.com/discount/FC35. This week, we're recommending the Inside Editions book, The Lightsaber Collection. Check it out with that code FC35.
Yeah, it is a good book. It's a book that makes you want to make those lightsaber noises with your mouth, which I sometimes just do on a random Tuesday afternoon. And it's a ton of fun. But for now, we're going to get into our big topic. We're going to talk about the concept of patience in Star Wars and how it applies to the story and how it applies sometimes even to our fandom. So we're going to talk in the second half of the podcast about some specific moments where it pops up in actual dialogue in stories. But first, we're just going to have a kind of general big look at patience, what patience is, how it functions in the whole mythology of Star Wars. So Ken, as you know, many different Jedi and otherwise characters, but a lot of Jedi recommend patience as a vital, necessary skill. When you were growing up with the original trilogy and you heard Yoda and Obi-Wan advocating patience in this thrilling adventure movie, did you hear that at all, or did you just completely ignore those old people talking about patience?
Completely ignored it. You kidding me? Get in that X-Wing, leave Dagobah, go to Cloud City. What are you talking about? And they're, wait, patience, Luke, get out of here. No, absolutely not. You got to go save the day. I fell for it every time.
Yeah, so it didn't register with you at all, or did it actually make you, did you actively disagree with it? Where you're like, come on. Stop being a wet blanket.
A little bit of that. It wasn't like I actively disagree with that. And we could have some wonderful discussions and have and will on those moments and maybe some of the mistakes of Obi-Wan and Yoda over the years, right? But that comes later. Just isn't that moment. It's just you are following the hero's journey, but you're just maybe, for me, not understanding the type of hero they were maybe training him to be or trying to get him to understand the best way to be it. And you just want to go take that lightsaber and go charge ahead. I mean, Jabba's sail barge is Luke going, you know, pure Jedi, which isn't correct, by the way. It's probably, that's not what a Jedi would necessarily do, but it's part of it. You know what I'm talking about. But, you know, it's like as a kid, you're just watching, like, that's the hero. He charged in and he saved the day and that's what I want. And so going back to the Dagobah stuff, I didn't have patience to even get through those scenes as much as a kid, right? Like, it was a... I'm not quite saying I fast forward through them, but it was kind of like, come on. We just had the great battle. Let's go to the great fight.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think this idea of patience is just kind of core to a thing I love about Star Wars. The more that we get to talk about it is that there is just tension in it. It's called Star Wars. It's based on adventure thrill, you know, serials. It's supposed to be thrilling. But here you are, you know, already in the second movie, there's bits of it in the first movie, but already in the second movie, it is so fascinating that you have Yoda, you know, this wise old character going, slow down. Your life shouldn't be a movie, Luke. You don't want that. So it gives you this great tension. And I felt that when I was a little kid, I could not put it into words or really fully comprehend it. But I absolutely loved Yoda and I wanted to listen to him. He felt like the wise mentor. You know, I was the kind of little kid that, like, I didn't always enjoy school, but I wanted to listen and learn from the older people. Even when I didn't like the teachers or didn't want to be at school, I wanted to listen and learn. Yeah. But then I also really wanted a lightsaber. And if anybody was mean to me, I wanted to cut their hand off. natural instincts. So I remember being utterly tortured by Yoda saying, you shouldn't crave adventure and excitement and feeling like, I know, mm-hmm. I know a lightsaber is a responsibility, but I just want to have fun with it.
Yeah.
Like, I remember feeling like actually guilty. Like, I need to be listening to Yoda.
Yeah. I think the what's in there, only what you take with you might be, it's under that umbrella of this patience discussion. Even it's not maybe not specifically a part of it, but I had an issue with that too, of just like, no, grab your weapons, go in the cave, right? What are you waiting to find out? You know, and it's a cave. The the monsters are there enough. Like then, yeah. So I know what you mean. Where it was hard to listen.
Yeah, yeah. And as I get older, I so appreciate the wisdom of it. So appreciate that that's there in the movie and how important it is, and that it isn't about action or inaction, right? It's about taking the time to make a really clear and really informed decision about what action you do take.
Yeah.
And you're right. We'll get into lots of great, sometimes maybe the Jedi were too patient and didn't act when they should have. And the moments where maybe Luke gets impatient and acts when he shouldn't. And all of this kind of, I think patience is so vital to that. Was there an age at which you felt like you started that, you got past that point of being, a young person who did crave adventure and excitement and was thrilled by that part of Star Wars and started to listen, started to hear the wisdom?
Yeah, 45, right? No. well, but over the years, and I've struggled with patience in many different kind of ways. And these are the Star Wars discussions you and I really love having that really spiral into our personal lives, right? Our own experiences. And Star Wars has been along for the ride the entire time with you, me, and many others listening. So I'm trying to pinpoint the exact moment. I really am. And it might be like when I first moved to L.A., I moved to LA at 22, which seemed like late, but it really wasn't. But I waited for the right time, and the right time emerged, sometimes a little bit being forced out of the starship. Another, I lost my radio job and had nothing else to do. But also it was like, oh, I get it. This needed to happen here and not when I wanted it to 2 years ago. And so I started to get it. And it's funny, as you get older, Hoth is great. Bespin's great. I might just want to watch Yoda now.
Yeah, no, I mean, I would really be happy to just have that series we've joked about on Disney Plus of Yoda's meditations. Just cooking that root leaf stew, talking to animals. Yoda talks to the animals, communes with Qui-Gon. Don't even have to hear Qui-Gon's side of the conversation. Just Yoda's. I'd be fine with that. Yeah, I think it really started to, it always resonated with me because like I said, I really loved Yoda. I think also, I was 3 years younger than my brother. So when I was very young, I had not only parents and teachers, but my brother and I had like almost every figure in my life was trying to be like, don't do this, do that. Watch yourself when you do this. So I think I'd already kind of heard and felt a lot of that. So it made sense coming from this character that I liked. So I always was intrigued by it, even though I had that youthful impulse to like grab the lightsaber and go. But once I really started watching the movies a lot on VHS, there was a time where I had my first apartment and I watched them, it felt like once a week. It's like if I didn't have something to do, well, watch Star Wars. And that was a time in my life where I really got into Empire in particular because it had this wisdom. And because I was just old enough now to have experienced some like disappointments and some setbacks. And it was like, when Luke was bummed out or Luke made a mistake, then I was related to him less as a hero. Like, yeah, man, life's tough, right, Luke? Let's me and Luke go get a drink at the bar. Oh, we're making mistakes left and right and not listening like we should. And like, I really got into Luke as my fail buddy.
I'm trying to think of the exact moment, but there's that moment where, you just ask that question of why. Well, why are Yoda and Obi-Wan telling our hero stay put? And again, many discussions to be had and already have had, but there's that moment, and it might be 10, 11, 12, 20, like you're talking about, a little bit older, first apartment, where you just start really trying to analyze why they're saying you can't go, why they're saying you got to hold back for the sake of your friends, for the sake of what they believe in and fighting for, what they're fighting for. And again, the answer might not be clear, but that's when it starts to hit.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So diving in, we'll get into those scenes, but diving into how the Jedi look at patience, or maybe even other wise characters in Star Wars, why do you think a Jedi and other wise characters find patience such a valuable skill? What is the philosophy behind it? Why is it so important?
So this is going to sound melodramatic because I try to write it as if I was Porter Ingle. Actually, probably wouldn't phrase it even this way. I had this thought of, especially when it relates patient, you're relating patience to Jedi, and their philosophy is that patience is kind of the separation of desire from self.
Hmm.
meaning, and I'm having fun with phrasing it like that, but any example, you and I go to Qui-Gon a lot, which we know doesn't turn out well for Qui-Gon with Maul, but there's something so powerful, and that's why I still love that moment. Even though we might know the end result, and even though Obi-Wan's charging in and maybe getting the job done, and you can look it on the surface, I still am so moved and affected by Qui-Gon going, I know what I want to do, I know what I think I'm here to do, but right now I can't. And that's myself. That's my desire. That's what I want to have happen here. I've got to sit here and be present in what is actually happening right now, which is I can't go forward. And I got to be kind of detached from myself, but also find myself at the same time. Feet on the ground. Be present where you're there. And there's something about that scene more than any other example of patience we're going to dive into. That one resonates more with me.
I think it's a really powerful picture of what we're talking about. Like, patience isn't about don't ever act, right? It's about choosing your actions. And to see that contrast between Maul, who is, you know, just feeding his passion and his anger and his hate, and just pacing like a hungry animal. And to see that Qui-Gon being like, yeah, I'm in the fight of my life, but there's no point in pacing. There's no point in, you know, being angry. I want to be clear about why I'm doing this. I am stopping this person because they mean harm to Padme, and I am committed to defending her. And so I'm just closing my eyes and thinking about that, you know. And then that contrast where Obi-Wan's dancing right on the edge of vengeance. And I think it's really powerful to just physically see it in a film of, it is okay to act, of course. That's what a Jedi needs to do many times, but you have to have clarity of why.
The clarity of why is That's a great book.
the clarity of why. Yeah. So I think my analysis of that scene is Obi-Wan looks cool as hell. It's my favorite lightsaber fight, yeah, but he leaves himself open and vulnerable, and he almost dies for it. And it is only when he slows down and looks at the big picture and remembers literally that there are other options in front of him instead of charging directly at Maul that he's victorious.
Yeah. 100%. Preach. Let's talk it up. Talk about that in another podcast, but yeah.
I got some thoughts, but I want to make sure that I'm hearing yours too. Any other thoughts on why they find it so valuable?
I just, because having to wait, it is a denial of oneself in a way, which is, but not of, you're not ignoring yourself or ignoring the big picture, like you talk about so well, but action is needed. Jedi are on the planet or in the galaxy, I should say, to take action. Right. But so your clarity of why is pretty powerful in that, but anytime in my own life where it's like, I gotta be patient, it usually is because there's something I want so much and you just don't understand why it's not there. And it's a desire, and it's a driving desire, and you just want to get to the finish. You want to get to where you think you belong, where you believe and that you deserve the things you deserve and where you need to be. And every time it's like, patience, patience. It will either come or you're not come, or it will come in time. And then clarity emerges. Clarity why? That's another Scrimshaw bumper sticker. Needs to be really seriously. It really kind of explains the idea of patience in my life and Jedi's as well.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. I think your picture of, you know, impatience is rising from a desire of like, but I want this thing, I need this thing. Or sometimes I fear this thing that I don't want to happen will happen, so I need to act now to stop this thing from happening. I think those are the moments where I really fall to dangerous impatience, you know, in my own life experience has been, you know, if you can take a deep breath before you act, you know, you can try to judge your decisions more carefully. And I love what you're saying about kind of separating yourself from your desire, but I almost even think about it as like just checking yourself, right? To be like, okay, I'm going to take a knee like Qui-Gon, and I'm really going to look inside and say, okay, but now when you've taken a deep breath and you're calm, why are you doing this? And sometimes you'll discover, oh, I know exactly why I'm doing this, and it's good that I'm doing this. And then sometimes you go like, oh, wait, I'm really angry. Yeah. Or I'm pissed this thing that's about to happen reminds me of this other thing, bad thing that happened once, and I'm afraid of it happening again, or I'm hangry, or whatever it is in real life. And, you know, I almost think of it sometimes I feel like a Jedi when I write an email at night and then I wait to send it in the morning.
Yes.
And make sure, like, are you being clear about, you know, because by the end of the day, every day I'm frustrated. Life's hard. And like, is this coming off as anger or frustration? Or, you know, do I need to say this thing that might be taken as passive aggressive. And you look at it again in the morning and sometimes like, no, that's all good and clear. And sometimes look at it in the morning like, no, clearly some of that is my baggage.
Yeah.
Now, separate that and send an email like a Jedi.
Qui-Gon in his email thoughts. Yeah, no, absolutely. A lot of truth there. And it's almost as if patience is a self-ego check, I think, a lot. It is a stepping back a little bit at times. And then we all can be, you know, trying to relate it to maybe the Jedi. We all could be attached to outcomes and control of outcomes and things you're talking about. Yeah, I'm talking about good things. You brought up maybe potentially you're fearful of bad things. And so it's a control, like I must control the next steps. And patience is a little bit of letting that go, a little bit of letting that attachment to what's coming and what you want to have happen or not have happen, like you pointed out as well. So yeah, it's all there. And it's all very Jedi-like, because everything is a little Jedi.
Everything's a little Jedi-like. Yeah, this is the other bumper sticker that came to mind as I was thinking through some of these discussions we're going to have here of this is very bumper sticker, but the idea that patience is the path to the big picture. Yeah. That if you wait, sometimes you'll understand a situation more, right? Mm-hmm. And it relates to exactly to what you're saying. You know, Luke didn't have the full picture when he ran to Bespin. There's that difference in my mind between concern about a bad situation is happening or is for sure about to happen, and we need to be concerned about that. Or like what happened to Anakin. Anakin had a vision with no absolute proof that was Padme's fate. And he fell to the fear of what could happen, not what is for sure going to happen. And, you know, patience, I think Jedi preach this because they don't want people reacting to what might be. They want them to react to what is. They don't want them to fall to that fear of what might be. And this is one I think about a lot because, you know, sometimes I'm involved with a project. I've had some projects over the last couple of years where I have to accept I only have a small amount of control, and I'll see train wrecks coming or conflicts coming. And sometimes I've wasted a big chunk of time being afraid of them or wondering how I should respond or almost taking an action. And sometimes when I take a deep breath, the problem just resolves itself because what I'm concerned about is something that might happen, not that something is for sure going to happen. And that really makes me think of these Jedi lessons of waiting to see how things play out, waiting to make sure you understand the whole picture, right? Like something as easy as somebody, you're working on a project with somebody and they advocate doing something that you think is horrible. It's wrong. It's going to upset everything else. And then you get a little bit more information from them and you understand that maybe there's a part of the project you didn't understand, and you understand, oh, that's why they wanted to do this thing that I thought was suicidal to our project. Now that I've waited to have the big picture, now I can address it better.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah. Absolutely. This is also called working through Hollywood.
Exactly. There's a lot of Jedi lessons to be learned in old Hollywood. Any other kind of thoughts on the big picture of Jedi relationship to patience before we move on?
No, sounds great. Let's do it.
Excellent. So as Star Wars fans, you know, we can get very passionate and excited about ideas, which is great. That's why we have a podcast, because we get really excited about Star Wars. But sometimes I think there's this patience element to it, right? Like I think a lot about the first season of The Mandalorian, where Din and other characters discussed that the Mandalorian creed was to never remove your helmet. And there was confusion and frustration about like, but that doesn't match the other Mandalorians we've seen. And then I think patience was really rewarded when that was an actual story point, a great revelation of the cultural clashes about different perspectives of the Mandalorian creed in the second season. And I think that was just an example of where having some patience with the storytelling can really pay off. Do you think, Ken, that patience is a valuable skill as a fan?
Oh, this is a loaded question, sir. All right. I mean,
what if you just said no? Nah, it's bullshit.
Well, I'll tell you what. Here it is. It is a vital and necessary skill, I think, if you want to get the full enjoyment and full understanding and full appreciation for these properties. And it's a big picture. It's not a valuable skill if you want big clicks and you want to get your YouTube channel to explode, just rush in there. No patience. Grab your weapon and head out. But I think as a fan, it is vital.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the thing is like, I don't want a lack of excitement, and I don't want a lack of discussion. And I love YouTube videos that are like, fascinating. Here are the different things we've heard about Mandalorian relationship to their helmets. Here's what we're hearing in the story. Here's what we've seen before. You know, videos like that are great, but the ones that are, you know, manipulative, right? That say,
yes,
oh, they got it wrong. What's this about? I think the big thing for me is having some patience and going, oh, I haven't heard this full story yet. Just leads to more joy, right? Because if you're watching it with the consternation that feels like they got something wrong, or I can't concentrate because they didn't explain this, or where that's going, or what's the answer here, especially, I feel this way for many stories, but particularly for Star Wars. Star Wars often is tip of the iceberg storytelling. It throws something out and it makes you wonder, and it even might sound like it you know, drastically contrasts with something we have always known to be true. And that's often a seed for future storytelling, right?
Yeah.
And I think if you just get upset about the tip mm-hmm. of the iceberg and don't say, oh, give it patience, because what this is not a conflict. It's really interesting future storytelling. Then you can enjoy the thing you're watching now, and then you're rewarded down the line when that storytelling happens.
I've gotten better over the years, and you know, when you're doing weekly shows, not just here at Force Center, you know, whether it be Jedi Council, Jedi Alliance, all the other shows we've been involved in or appear on, you know, again, it's fair questions. Again, some things are designed to be cliffhangers, so you're going to have questions, and you should discuss those, like you were saying, Joseph. But, like, I go back to the first time it really hit me, both the impatience and then lesson of patience as a Star Wars fan, was the Saint Astaros, but it revealed as Saint Solo.
And right,
coming down coming down her ship there, the runway on her ship there, the door on her ship, and saying to Leia, "I'm Saint Solo, his wife," and up in arms, right? Because Han never had a wife, he never mentioned it, and oh, that means if he was married, that means he was cheating on her with Leia. Now he's just scum, and that was part of the discussion. And I remember, you know, Maud and I wouldn't go too angry, but we were discussing that stuff too on Solo, and some of it was fair questions, like, okay, if they stick with this, if this means what we think it means right here, then that could be. What do we now think of Han going forward? Fair questions asked, but the rage, the confusion, that final frame of the comic, how dare they, how dare they? And then the very next month or the next issue is, it was all a ruse. It was part of a thing. And she's saying Astaros, and it's new storytelling. She said, that was the first time. It didn't necessarily sink in 100% with me, but that was the first time I went like, I just kind of wish I shut up.
Yeah, right? Like, this is where my bumper sticker is going to keep popping up of patience is the path to the big picture, right? Like, I think sometimes our love of Star Wars is so great. Something like that comic that was clearly intended to me as a cliffhanger to get people to go, whoa, what if? Does this mean this? Does this mean that? Like, great to go, what if, right? And but boy, is it so important to have the patience and go like, but let's not get mad about it yet because we don't know the whole story.
Indeed. Indeed.
Yeah. And like, I think even for me, like in a recent thing, you know, we've talked a lot on the Bad Batch report of, I really love the character of Echo. And I really feel like his perspective was developed well in the first season of Bad Batch, but we didn't get to spend a lot of time with him. But because of my long history of watching Star Wars storytelling, I don't want to criticize that because mm-hmm. I think I have patience. It feels like Echo is this character who's really making the argument that maybe we should be with the rebellion. They don't have the words rebellion yet, but maybe we should be with Rex. Maybe we should be, you know, really looking at what's going on in the galaxy and being more proactive about it instead of just surviving. He keeps kind of making this argument and kind of grumbling it. So that makes me feel, when I look at Star Wars through the lens of patience, that there's a great Echo storytelling time bomb that's going to go off at some point. And, you know, 5 years from now, if I'm wrong, well, okay. Yeah. Maybe I can get cranky then. And my version of cranky would be like, yeah, they should have focused on Echo more, in my opinion. But I enjoy being able to just go like, I'm excited for the future rather than I'm mad at the present.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's a great example of a current example. Yeah. Going on. Yeah. I love that example.
Yeah. So hopefully I can keep trying to be patient. I think it helps that I grew up wondering what the Clone Wars was for decades. It took a long time, to be rewarded on that one. So we've talked about it a little bit here, but I do want to just dive in because this is a hard topic to talk about without making it real. when do you struggle with patience? When is it hard for you to be patient? Under what circumstances?
I think when you want to, for me, it's a big answer. A big answer. Career comes to mind. In the past, might have been relationships. I'm in a happy and healthy one now, and so that just kind of goes away. Now, patience becomes, you know, patience with the person you love, and vice versa. She needs more patience than I do. Trust me. I'm Luke on an island. Anyways, different podcast. You know what I mean? It's a lot of career things, a lot of things I wanted and moved to LA to do, or projects you mentioned. And I don't mean just, you know, I'm kind of a workaholic, I guess, but wanting the result and wanting the result so badly, and wanting to get to that result, because man, if I just get with, if they say yes, I'm on my career's gone. I'm on this path and focusing on it so much that I'm not hanging back and being patient. And then I'm not present in the now, more Yoda lessons. Right. Mm-hmm. And then I end up almost self-fulfilling prophecy of failing to get that goal. And it's happened a few times and it will happen again. It's human nature. This is the battle. This is why we also love the lessons of Luke and Last Jedi. You don't just level up and don't turn back. These are instincts and things and natures that we all going to have to battle against and with. So yeah, that's where it is for me, where you see something on the horizon and it's something you want so bad that you just leap ahead when you shouldn't.
Yeah, I like that. So you're impatient for the destination and you're like, what's this stupid journey?
Right.
I don't want any of this.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
That makes a ton of sense. I think for myself, I definitely have some of the big picture stuff. I think a thing that I have struggled with a lot is I've been very impatient when it comes to like big picture time. Like there's definitely some things in life that I should have done, everything from, you know, start down this journey of a specific project or a specific learning a specific skill or saving money or whatever. And I don't know, I can be very patient in certain circumstances, but I've always been impatient about time. Like I remember being really young and thinking, like learning that a pregnancy lasts 9 months. And it's like, why does anybody get pregnant? That's so long. It'll never come. And I've had some moments in life where I've really had that, like, oh, yeah, I could do that. But even if it pays off, it won't pay off for a year. And that's so long. And I want it now. Not even like acting poorly in terms of rushing to get to the thing, but not taking on a challenge because it feels so long to get to the reward.
That's a great way to look at it. A great way to realize that that's going to be an issue because there's the amount of times in life where I've said, and I've tried to be philosophical about it, where you suddenly realize where you are. It's a place you're happy with and a place you wanted to be. And then you look back and realize that journey was way longer than you thought. And I think, if you were impatient back then, you might not have taken it. That's a great example as well. Cause I'm living proof of that in many things.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a thing that I've gotten much better on as I've gotten older, because I see that time flies. So trying to be a little bit more patient, but I still have those moments where like, well, I'd really like to do X, but it's going to take so long. Yeah. It helps to get rewards on things like, you know, doing 1,000 episode of podcast.
Yeah,
that's a fun journey. The other thing for me is a more small in the moment thing that I still need to really work on is once I've decided, or the group that I'm with has decided what's next, I want to go do the next thing. And I've over the years, I've had friends and family member who have like drifting conversations where like, hey, we've all agreed that we're going to sit down in the dining room and play a card game. Oh, but we got stopped in the kitchen to talk about this. Oh, but we got stopped in the living room to talk about this. That is some of my most like raging impatient of like, we said we were going to go over there and sit down, and that's what I want to do.
I feel that too. It's the journey. It's the patience. You're right. Maybe this is also why I love driving to Las Vegas more than flying it, because it delays the end of the journey, and I'm just trying to enjoy getting there.
Oh yeah, well that's a great. If you can enjoy that journey, that's some great patience, because there's some beautiful stuff on that drive, but there's some stretches that are repetitive. So I don't want to just make it sound like horrible, impatient monsters. So I also want to ask you, when do you feel like patience does come naturally to you, or when do you feel like a real champion of patience?
Now it has been the lessons learned of some of it, of the journey stuff, and knowing that, starting small is still starting. And I have experienced that and sometimes it doesn't work, you know. Force Center, we started pretty small and we're going strong and going and maybe stronger than we ever have been. And that might have been something I wouldn't have done in the past. And so it's a little bit of a taking a deep breath. I'm not a super meditator or anything like that. But I've definitely talked to myself. A good car ride with some conversation with myself on what's going to happen in life is important. But the moment it succeeds, the moment I find it easier now is as the older I get, is to know that I don't need to run down that hill. We'll get there. We know we're going to get there, and we have a better vision of what's going to happen. And then you can enjoy it even more when you get there, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. So it sounds like you are the best person to take a car ride with.
Other than I'm super quiet and it just freaks everyone out and I just stare at the windows. Yeah, listen to music. Yeah, yeah. Poor Mark Ellis and McCook on the road, 6 hours to Arizona. Like, you said three words. It was like too many. I think a little bit now, but that wasn't always the case. It wasn't always the case with me, especially with career stuff too, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think for me, patience comes easily to me when I'm with other people, particularly in society. Like I gave that example of, I can definitely get impatient at home, and I can definitely get impatient, you know, if a group has made a decision to do X and then we're not moving toward it, that can make me grumpy. But like things like airports, like that's the one of those, like, you know, if you rush the gate, you're not actually going to get on the plane faster. Even if you do, what have you achieved? You know, especially those things that just will, those big group society things. I think I have great patience when I'm seeing, like, I am one part of society and we all have to wait. It's cool. I think probably some of that came from working at Kinko's back in the day. When that was like a busy, high pressured place to be, and everyone was so impatient and so hard on the staff because they just wanted and needed their thing now. You know, no one goes to Kinko's back in the day out of choice. It had to be there. And I think for me, I just got a much better desire to be patient in a way that would help the bigger picture, right? Of, you know, if we all rush through the one small gate, it's not going to help any of us. So, I'm great at airports.
It's funny. Airports, I love airports. I love the travel of the aspect of it. And it's because I am pretty zen there. That's the most time I'm like a Jedi. I glide through. I'm never in a rush. I have enough time. There's not time. Sometimes you get there a little late, things you can't control. So you have to give that up and adjust to the next thing. You are Qui-Gon behind that red shield there, waiting for what's next, and you maybe can't control the result. That's fascinating. You and I have traveled together, but I don't think we've traveled on a plane together. Right, yeah, you, me, and Mark Ellis, we'll be Jedis of the airport.
I'm going to think about that now. I think a lot of people at the airport waiting to get on their plane are Darth Maul, and I want to be Qui-Gon. I'm like, I'm sitting, I'm waiting. Maybe I will stand, but I'm not going to rush that gate.
Yeah, and it leads to, look, sometimes, yes, there's sometimes you as the customer, things happen and I get it. But, you know, yelling at the counters, yelling at the attendants, all those kind of horrible behaviors. And it's a pressurized situation. And everyone's, you can almost hear Yoda going, what's in there? Only what you take with you. Don't get angry. So, yeah, there you go.
Right.
We just self-discovery. We are Jedis of the airports. It's a new sect.
Jedi Airport. The other thing for me that I would say it hasn't come naturally, it has come through the experience on social media in general, both when it relates to pop culture stuff like Star Wars, but also real news. Like, I think, hey, if you're reading a headline about Obi-Wan Kenobi or about great political strife, the desire to rush toward the destination, right? To just have an opinion based on the headline, you know, That's being so exploited right now. That's why the hate clicks work, right? Because they get people to just have an emotional response before they know the big picture, before they click through and read the article and realize, oh, wow, yeah. I didn't have the full picture. Or, you know, or even I think sometimes on social media, you know, I think I used to be more quick to rush in and have a hot take. And sometimes I think that's valuable and great, but I'm so focused lately more on like, well, what's going to happen? What do you want people to actively do and for what reason? Like that matters more than my hot take. If my hot take can influence an action, great. But I think I've developed more patience to say like, you know, just taking a deep breath and figuring out what do you actually want to happen and how can you influence that?
Yeah, that's a great way to look at it. I've become so patient of social media, I'm barely on it, right?
Hey, you closed that laser gate entirely.
Yeah, but also it might be because it's an area where maybe I couldn't control my patience with things, with people as they work through some stuff, you know, or something like that. It might be on me, and I think that goes back to the clarity of why. If I bring back an example of saying a solo and solo, you know, has a wife and all these things, you know, what was I going through? What is the why of my impatience? It was like, my favorite character is protective. It was me going, what, there's new information that I didn't know. And now I don't seem as smart. And it was all those kind of like basic ego things and be able to slow down and just wait till tomorrow to send that email. It's a great.
Right. So that's my last question for you in the first chunk of our podcast here. Does pretending to be a Jedi help you be patient? Like when you're in a moment where you might want to get grumpy or jump into action with a hot head, does picturing Qui-Gon help?
Yeah, I don't do it as much specifically. I think I'm going to need to now. Now that I probably got to fly in October again. That'll be the true test. Like, sir, why do you have a cloak on? I'm like, I'm in a jet. it does work. And it's not a, you know, we joke about this a little bit, but we are the type and people listening, Star Wars runs deep. It runs deep in our life. That's why we're here. It's why we're talking about it for 1,000 episodes and more. For over 1,000 episodes. And so I do think about that kind of stuff. I think about that, the imagery of Star Wars all the time. So now I'm definitely going to think about it in an airport.
Yeah, me too. The airport for sure. I'm going to start picturing that. I don't know if I'll actually kneel because I think that might confuse or concern some people.
Sir,
you can't Qui-Gon in here. There's no Qui-Gon-ing in the airport, sir, please. But like, I do think about it with things like emails or when I'm really at risk of like blowing my top on social media or interpersonally. Like, I do think about it, and there's a little bit of that sort of fun of this is really silly to treat an email like I am a mystic warrior with fantastic powers. But then I also go back to like one of those Lucas interview quotes that was making the rounds a little while back, and I'd seen it before, but it was like really great to just reconnect to it. Where he's talking about like, yeah, that's the point. You know, the point isn't that the fantasy of having a laser sword is fun and great, but the point is everybody always can be a hero. It's the little things that are heroic in real life. Right. Yeah. Just, you know, if you're frustrated at the grocery store and somebody in front of you is taking forever because they're having a hard time, take a deep breath instead of yelling at them, you know?
Yeah.
And I love that there is a Lucas quote out there that is really saying like, no, that's the way I was thinking of it. You know, the lesson of Star Wars isn't get a sword. Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes that's the practical answer in this great fantasy world. The lesson is to try to take a deep breath and do what you think is right.
Mm. Yeah. And again, going back to one of my original thoughts of removing that desire from maybe your own ego and self of even looking at Luke, again, going to Dagobah, rushing off, right? It now sings in harmony with some of the stuff they're trying to get through to Anakin, or that Anakin failed at as well. Just like, you're so fearful. You so just want your own desire, your own answer, your own opinion to be out there that you're rushing in when you should be just holding back with no weapon.
Yeah, and now I'm picturing Anakin reading that Sanastaros comic back in the day and just throwing it down in anger.
Yeah.
A fun Star Wars visual. With that, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to be back to discuss some of these specific moments of patience in Star Wars. We will be back in a moment.
Hey, 4 Center friends, make sure you're keeping up to date on all the great content from Jennifer Landa. Whether it's YouTube, Instagram, or TikTok, you whippersnappers, 4 Center's own Jennifer Landa continues to bring you fun, informative, and insightful laughs and moments.
Also, Jennifer brings her experience and perspective as a Star Wars-loving mother to her DIY projects, blogs, and more. So be sure to head on over to JennyLanda.com. That's JennyLanda.com for articles like how to make your own Darth Maul sneakers or 10 unique Star Wars baby gift ideas.
Follow Jen on Twitter and Instagram at Jennifer Landa and on TikTok as JenniferLanda1138.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare coverage at UH1.com. That's UH1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
And we are back to finish our discussion of patience. We're going to discuss some specific moments in Star Wars, and I want to be super clear. This list is not comprehensive at all. There are a ton more great moments of patience. I picked out some from the original trilogy that I've sat with for a long time, where they use the actual word patience in a couple more. These are some favorites, some big ones. There's a ton more out there. We try to be comprehensive, but sometimes that's how we get to those 3-hour podcast episodes. So we're going to be patient with ourselves. Not a comprehensive list. But Ken, I want to start for a very early moment in the chronology of release of Star Wars, going back to the first film, Star Wars, later Star Wars A New Hope, when Luke gets mad at Han at the cantina and says, "We don't have to sit here and listen," and starts to get up, and Obi-Wan gently sits him back down. I love that moment. As I get older, I love that moment even more because I used to be Luke and now I'm Obi-Wan. What do you think is going through Obi-Wan's mind in that moment of teaching Luke patience?
I think Obi-Wan might be thinking, don't F this up, kid. We're right here. We need this. All right. The Force has led us to this moment. And yeah, I think it's a little bit of that. I think it's just quick to anger, right? Rush to anger. When a solution might be in front of us. Maybe there's down the line a reason to get angry with this cat. We'll figure that out, but not right now. We don't know the big picture. And it's, again, the focus on the anger and knowing that sliding scale of problems that will lead to suffering for Jedi. And Luke is fearful. He's probably fearful what's going on, fearful of the position in life. And now here he is getting angry really fast. And I think Obi-Wan just wants to slow that down.
Yeah, and to your great point and great analysis of what patience is and why it's valuable, it's an attack on Luke's ego, right? It's Han going, "Who's going to fly it, kid? You?"
Yeah.
That's what he's responding to. Yeah, you better go. I'm not such a bad pilot myself. We don't have to sit here like, it is just about, this guy insulted me. And I love that moment because it's just, you know, Luke is so rewarding as a character because he is just, ultimately really this beacon of light, but he's very human, right? He's got all these flaws. He's so excited to get out there and have adventure and excitement. And his mind is on the destination of like, gotta go save the princess. Let's go.
Right. Yeah.
And I don't need this guy to insult me. I'm saving the princess now. Get out of my way. So it's really relatable and understandable, and it makes him a more complex character. And it's just played so well by Alec Guinness of the like, yep. Nope.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't seem upset or affected by it. So now, like, backfilling everything that we get to see Obi-Wan go through with Anakin. I when I see that moment, I kind of think, like, this is not a surprise to Obi-Wan. You know, he has been watching over Luke. He knows Luke is going to be like this. And I almost think that moment, like, is Obi-Wan almost having, like, a fond memory of Anakin? Of, like, yep, always on the move. Here we go. I forgot what this was like, where the Skywalker shoots their mouth off and I go, no, let's wait. It's kind of nice to be back in the groove.
Some nostalgia, Skywalker nostalgia for Obi-Wan.
Yeah, because I don't think Obi-Wan is ever kidding himself of like, yeah, no, Luke's a lot like his father.
Oh, yeah. Which is why as he and Yoda have that ongoing debate, right, of Leia versus Luke. You could probably tell that can think Obi-Wan's like, I get it. He's probably said that so many times. I get it. Trust me on this.
He's got some rough edges, but it's gonna be okay. I know that scene, that moment I really enjoyed. Is that one that you gravitate toward?
I love that whole sequence. I love Luke at that moment. I love where he is. And the reality of, you know, this is twin sons, sunset Luke, the twin sunset Luke staring out, dreaming. And maybe at times in both beats, he's resigned to his fate, but also impatient that he just can't one more season. God, I can't do it. I can't wait. And I always feel that Star Wars is teaching you about the path you want to be on. You've already been on it. You started that journey before you even knew it. And you've just got to slow down to see it and feel it and understand it. And at times, hopefully enjoy it. And I think even though the fate of the galaxy might be, hovering over this journey, I think Obi-Wan's trying to impress that upon Luke in this particular moment. So I do love the scene and how it relates to the big picture.
Yeah, that's some great analysis, really connecting it back to, you know, not only does he have this mission, not only is he going through the trauma of losing Owen and Beru, but like, this is the headspace he's been in for years of, I need to get off this rock.
Yeah, Yeah, Luke might be even a little pissed. He's like, what am I doing? I'm here with this old guy. This new guy's insulting me. This carpet won't talk to me. My droid buddies are outside, and all I want to do is go and join the Imperial Academy.
Yeah,
and they're in the way of that.
My coccyx hurts because a walrus man pushed me to the ground for no reason. Yeah. He's got a lot going on in that moment.
Exactly.
Moving on to some of the big, just absolute spotlight patience moments of the original trilogy. In Empire Strikes Back, Yoda does not want to teach Luke because he has no patience. In that great scene in his little tree hut, Yoda advises patience for the Jedi. It is time to eat as well. Then Yoda loses his own patience with Luke and reveals his true identity and says, "I cannot teach him. The boy has no patience." Ken, was Yoda right? Was Luke too impatient?
Oh, 100%. 100%. This is why this scene becomes, this whole sequence becomes more rewarding, right? And this is, I remember even what Taika Waititi said in that Mando director's interview, right? Of just like, hey, yeah, you know, I want this now is like the scene I go to a lot. Oh, yeah, indeed. And I love what, tying it a little bit to what I was saying before, but it's like, Luke, your goal is right there. You've met the man, the hero, the creature, whatever it is you've wanted to meet. You just haven't slowed down enough to see it. Now you're angry, and that's going to lead to more problems. Yoda's definitely seen this before. So was Yoda right? 100%, 100%. And I would say Yoda's frustrated, rightfully so. As far as patience, he's waited a long time to get to this point, I'd say. But even he too probably has those moments. So, anyways. Not to get off track. Luke was too impatient indeed, because that's him. That's youth.
Yeah, yeah. And I love how much that he has had experiences and he has grown, but there's that fear in Empire Strikes Back that the experiences he's had have just kind of taught him the horror of war. They've given him the lesson of, like, you don't leave your weapons behind. And that's some of the growth and the experience he's had. And he has gotten more in touch with the Force, as we see when he's able to rescue himself from the Wampa. But not from the snow. Need some help there. That there's still that same energy there of he wants to skip to the end. Like you were describing, he wants to go to the destination. He's got zero interest in the journey. Right. He's like, he wants to be a Jedi like his father. He's known that for a while now. That's the goal. Mm-hmm. And when he is that, he can defeat the Empire and he can save everybody. And it's great. Let's go. That's the destination.
Yeah.
Yoda's this hiccup that Obi-Wan said, go see him. Ben mm-hmm. said, go see him. And he's not looking at the journey right in front of him, that this important part of his journey is right there. You know, it's all destination, no focus on journey.
Yeah. Yeah. You're already on that path, man. Slow down. Look around.
Yeah. So Yoda was very right. And I hadn't even really thought about that. There's this great parallel between these two scenes where, the voice of Obi-Wan appears and says he will learn patience. So Obi-Wan's really got faith. And then when Luke is getting impatient and saying, I can be a Jedi, Ben, tell him, and then starts to stand up and wax his head.
Yeah.
I've always enjoyed that as a moment of just, it works in a dramatic scene, but it has an element of comedy to it.
Yeah.
But I hadn't even thought about how directly it's connected to that moment in the cantina of another moment where Luke needs to stand up to express his opinion.
Yeah. A lot of Luke standing.
Yeah, if just the ghostly blue hand of Obi-Wan had appeared and sat him back down, that would have been a hell of a thing. So moving on, later in the movie, Yoda warns that if Luke takes the quick and easy path, he will become an agent of evil. Obi-Wan blurts out, patience, to yeah. Luke. Luke fires back and sacrifices Han and Leia, and Yoda adds, if you honor what they fight for, yes. So this is a good place for us to kind of get into this. Partially included it because I just love that moment of Obi-Wan saying patience in a way that doesn't sound patient, but yeah. still works yeah. in the scene. But this is a really kind of an important little exchange of ideas and moments, and I think really worthy of discussion of, should Luke have stayed on Dagobah? Would that have been the patient Jedi thing to do?
Yeah, yeah, in theory, but theory in theory never... It's never easy just to follow, right? This is why we need these lessons here. So I think so. I think what Yoda's getting at, always open for debate and love the discussion of this particular moment, but just this idea of, again, it goes to attachment. I think of Shmi and Anakin, right? And so Luke is getting visions, right? Isn't he getting some unclear visions? Yoda can't really make the sense of it. Always emotion is the future. And
but he's seen Han and Leia in pain, much like his father. Yeah.
And so Luke's got to be like, what are you talking about? I got to go. And I, you know, we would still, we would argue that I, Padme's fate was not set in stone there, right? The ink was not dry on that. And Anakin, you know, forced it from a certain point of view. Again, other nuanced discussions to have, I'm sure. But it would have been appropriate to stay, but near impossible. And this, and again, you're threading needles on decisions in real life and in Star Wars.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And it's weird to look at a story like this and say, well, the hero thinks his friends might be in danger and he just wants to go save them. You know, it's such a complex thing to add, especially to, you know, the world really viewed that first Star Wars movie of like, as Guinness said, don't think about it too much. It's a nice story of good and evil, you know, and this is this great complexity because of course the instinct is yes, go save your friends, you know, and it's adding this complexity from these mentors. And I think this for me is a great moment of complexity that especially with a lot more of this story filled out that you can look at in lots of different ways. I really think of this moment is one for my bumper sticker, patience is the path to the big picture, that the mistake that Luke made is that he did not understand what he was rushing into, right?
Yeah.
He was cocky about his abilities and he didn't understand, like, I think he understood on the surface. They tell him like, you know, it's you and your abilities that the Emperor wants. That's why your friends are made to suffer that. And he says, that's why I have to go. And it's all very understandable. It's all very heroic. But, you know, he doesn't know the big picture that Vader is his father, right? He doesn't know how much this is about him, that from Yoda's perspective, only a Jedi is ever going to be able to defeat Vader and the Emperor. And whether they know it or not, that's what your friends are fighting for, is to make it possible for Vader and Emperor to fall. And if you put yourself at risk for no reason, you don't understand that it's not, you don't understand how easily tempted by the dark side you're going to be. You don't understand that you're heading into more of an emotional conflict than just a physical conflict.
Right.
You know, and I think it's all those things that Luke is saying, I'm sorry for in Return of the Jedi, that he didn't understand the big picture.
I agree, especially the emotional thing, right? He's gearing up for this fight. Going in the Bad Batch finale, even I fell for like, oh yeah, Crosshair and Hunter fist fighting. I want them fist fighting and then shooting. I want and then it's like it's a emotional gut punch. It's a battle over ideals, a battle over experiences and scars and hurts and all those kind of things. And for Luke to go and face, you're going to get the one bit of information that could destroy you, not the weapon. Not the fight. You're going to get the information that could destroy you because it's going to absolutely rattle your core. And again, Luke's not even paying attention to the vision. Well, we're also debating how much he should pay attention to the visions. But he gets his vision of himself, his face inside Vader's costume, and I don't even think he slows to analyze that much in the movie. You know?
Yeah, I mean, he claims he has, right? Because Yoda's like, "Remember your failure at the cave," and a quote that I always like, "But I've learned so much since then."
Right. Sure, Luke. Sure.
What exactly? You know, and you get the sense that he is taking on the lessons of Yoda, but he's not able to apply them in this moment because he is, seeing a possible future. And Yoda makes it very clear, like, yeah, it is a possible future. You know, they are in danger, they are in pain, and you might be able to help them. But he is reacting to what could be. And then I think what's so fascinating about it is, Luke doesn't end up helping anybody, right? I mean,
yes.
Han's already in carbonite. Boba Fett's out of there. That's it. And Leia's the one who has to turn around and rescue him. So ultimately, he puts Leia in a little bit of risk.
Yeah, puts the whole thing in the risk. And he joins Vader right there. You know, we got a whole new set of problems, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Indeed. And you know, Yoda's probably got some theories on, I get it. Your friends are in trouble. You're going to grab a clone army and go rescue them. Probably the right thing to do, but also maybe leads to bigger problems. You got to be careful.
I was really thinking about that, and I hadn't really before, but when we're putting these notes together, I was thinking about that. If Yoda's like, yeah, no, you could help them. You could save them in this moment, but maybe you will destroy everything that they were fighting for. You know, in that moment is there a little music video playing in Yoda's head of, or you know, rushing in and around the survivors a perimeter create, and he's shaking his head at his own youthful indiscretion.
Which again, you're threading needles because you saved the day. You did, and you probably, you know, 9 out of 10 times that's probably what you do. But this is why it's so important to learn these lessons and try to apply them.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And then my other thought on this, and this is why I think, you know, original trilogy is so enhanced for me by the prequel trilogy and mm-hmm. even the sequel trilogy. But I think for me, one of the big picture stories of Star Wars is Yoda and Obi-Wan are giving Luke great advice. He doesn't have the big picture. He isn't able to be calm and centered. He's rushed into an emotional conflict. He is acting on what could maybe be. So there's some fear in there. But also, I think Luke ends up having a great point in this moment that Yoda and Obi-Wan, because of what they went through with Anakin in the Fall of the Jedi Order, are kind of convinced that attachment is always a danger, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And this is a moment where Luke is demonstrating this great passion, and his attachment, his love for his friends is only so much of a danger for him because he has found a way to find attachment that isn't all about just fear and being possessive like Anakin. Mm-hmm. And I love that this is a moment where you could interpret it as Yoda and Obi-Wan are responding to their own fear and going, don't let attachment's just a danger. Don't rush off just to save your friends. And then it is, of course, Luke's attachment that ultimately leads him to victory, not just with his reaching out to Anakin, but I would say, you know, in Return of the Jedi, we see him go rescue Han and say, this is important. These attachments, you know, matter, and, you know, brings all these people around him and, you know, leads to Lando's discussion with Poe of like, well, we had each other. You know, there is a positive side of attachment that Luke is representing in this moment that I think Yoda and Obi-Wan don't really believe in.
Yeah. And he hasn't maybe given him reason to, but I think you're right that there's been great examples of Ahsoka's philosophy on it in the Clone Wars several times, as opposed to Anakin's version of rushing in to save the day. We've seen that come up a lot. I think there's some stuff in the sequel trilogy as well. Like you said, it's all connecting, that emotional canon of it there. And I love that we can look at particularly Yoda. I think there's some stuff in the prequels that I think sing in harmony, in the sense of they are his failures, they are his lessons, and they connect to the Yoda that we meet all these years later. It really works for me on those levels to engage in it. It's all right for them to be a little flawed.
Yeah, and when Yoda says to Luke in The Last Jedi, they are what we grow beyond, I think he's really including himself of like you, Luke, you grew beyond me. You had this great compassion that made a difference and wasn't ultimately a danger to you.
Yeah, yeah. And I think Luke is a better version of running off to save the day in Return of the Jedi, right? I mean, you mentioned the Han one, which is great, but even that took a while, and we're learning some of the plot details in the Marvel comics. But still, it doesn't matter to me. It was... They took their time to do that, and then the Vader one is maybe perhaps more the right way to do it, including the positive attachment like you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's dive into that a little bit, because we've talked about Luke's struggles to learn patience. Do you feel like Return of the Jedi, he has mastered patience? And if so, where do we see it for you?
At that point in time, yes. Again, the lessons are always ongoing. But yeah, I think it is it's in that. He turns himself in. We did that great episode breaking that scene by scene moment down. But I think it's that whole sequence. It is submitting. He is submitting himself. He doesn't come charging out of that AT-AT walker with a lightsaber ignited, having just killed everyone he probably could have. Right. There you go. Surprise, Vader. I'm here to fight you. It is. He's submitting himself to the path. He is patiently waiting for the opportunity to save his father. And when he's denied the first time, he knows, all right, that's hard. That didn't work out. Now we're going to go face Palpatine, all those kind of things. I would still argue he's all the way through not rushing to any end, because he doesn't necessarily know the end. He knows what he wants. He knows the opportunity will emerge.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great highlight. I'm just going to play this out when it comes to trying to save his father. His hope and his expectation in that hallway was that Vader was going to not turn him over to the Emperor. And he's like, uh-oh, you know, and he plays it out, and he almost gives in to anger. The threat of violence toward Leia, of turning her to the dark side, almost breaks him, but he is strong. And all those great things happen for him in the end of the film. I also just kind of do feel like it is there. Like I've always, I'm glad that it's being filled out in the comics. I haven't read those yet, so I don't know all those details, how many kind of posts along the journey are being laid out. I'll dive into those comics. But I think even without the comics, obviously, yeah, the films have worked for several years. And I just always liked it. It really felt like Luke just on every level, emotionally, physically, had his Jedi butt handed to him in Empire.
Yeah.
And it caused him to take this deep step back and go, I did absorb all these lessons. I heard them. I understood them intellectually, but now I'm going to internalize them. Yeah. And I don't need Obi-Wan's hand on my shoulder to get me to sit back down. I can do that for myself now, right? Like the whole way he approaches rescuing Han, I really love that it is action. It is big Jedi action and there is violence involved. But he's really clear on, my friend has always been here for me. I am going to be here for my friend. I am going to rescue him and I'm going to be dangerously, almost absurdly patient about it in this plan. Yeah. Where I'm going to try everything. I'm going to try a fake droid sale. I'm going to try Lando hanging out there. You know, I'm going to offer Jabba a bunch of times. Please, please, please. I don't want a conflict. Yeah. Can I give you money? Nope. All right. It warns again and again and again. It's so patient, right? It's it's confident. It's patient of like, I do have powers. I can take action and I will if I have to. And I'm being patient. I understand the big picture and I'm trying to give you every way out, Jabba.
Yeah. Jabba, I even sent you boosh, boosh, boosh. Come on.
I have tried everything. I should maybe flowers. Did you want flowers, Jabba? Anything. So, yeah, I mean, I think a lot of Return of the Jedi is about Luke's victories with patience. But even there in the beginning of like, I'm going to give Jabba every chance to avoid conflict.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So moving on to a moment in the prequel trilogy, we could discuss the prequel era for a long time because, of course, Anakin and Obi-Wan have a very long history of bickering about patience. But there's this moment in Revenge of the Sith when they are trapped by their ray shields in the hallway of the invisible hand there. And then Anakin says, I say patience. And Obi-Wan goes, oh, patience. And Anakin suggests waiting for R2 to free them. R2 shows up, but it doesn't really work out.
Yeah.
And it's always been like a good moment of comedy to me, but I really wanted to kind of just dig into it as a moment for you. Do you feel like Anakin has truly learned patience, or is he kind of trying to show Obi-Wan what he knows Obi-Wan wants to see?
It's Anakin has a word of the day calendar and patience rolled up. Right. I got a pal. He's trying to get more plugged into the bigger world. And sometimes when he talks about it, it just seems as though he read a headline and he's like, right, we're talking about this issue. I'm like, I don't think you're getting points for talking about it, but you're definitely not getting points for understanding it.
Yeah.
I think Anakin is some of that going on. It's a great exchange. Truly is. And, I think it is like, right. Like Anakin's got the roll down menu of skills on a video game. I've selected R1 for patience. Did that work?
I'm mashing the patience button. Yeah. It's a pretty great take. Yeah. I've always loved that first chunk of Revenge of the Sith because with the exception of Anakin giving in to Palpatine's seduction and allowing himself to murder Dooku, out of vengeance, out of just obeying the commands of Palpatine. Outside of that, that whole first chunk is really that little bit of like, this is the Jedi he could have been, right? Like he's, you know, confident, he's in command. He and Obi-Wan are in sync. He's got this just huge, huge amount of compassion, which can be such a huge virtue. And he wants to go back for the clone pilots who are in trouble. But Obi-Wan's like, no, they're doing their job so we can do ours. You know, Mr. Big Picture. Anakin listens to that. Then Obi-Wan's in trouble and with the buzz droids and Obi-Wan's willing to let himself go. And Anakin's like, no, that's a bridge too far for me.
Yeah.
You know, I have compassion for you and I will save you. So like you're seeing all these things that relate to both Anakin and Luke about the virtue of compassion, but he's kind of keeping it all in check, you know, and they're pretty much in unison. He does a great job in landing the invisible hand. So there's all this stuff in there that is about Anakin trying to be the Jedi that he knows he should be. And the patience thing is kind of a joke, but I also really like it, especially when you like combine it later when he's confessing to Padme that it's not enough. He wants more and he knows he shouldn't, and he's not the Jedi he's supposed to be, that he's really actively trying. You know,
yeah.
And he's got this mentor, this person that to him is a father figure, Obi-Wan, who's tried to teach him patience forever and is often right. Sometimes Anakin in the Clone Wars animated series is right to rush in.
Yeah.
And it's just like, look, Dad, I've learned what you've taught me. And Dad's kind of like, really? Have you?
Yeah. Yeah. She feels that frustration. Just builds up that frustration even more in Anakin that it's just not going right.
Yeah. Yeah. And he tries to have patience with being excluded from arresting Palpatine. Right. And he can't.
Yeah. And all that just flows back into his like main impatience, his main bucket of impatience. Right. I'm being patient. God, I just get through this.
Right. Right. Yeah. God, isn't this enough patience yet? Yeah. He is so much about the destination, not the journey. But I love that moment. I think it's a great moment. And then, of course, obviously, throughout the Clone Wars animated series, a ton of great stuff with Ahsoka learning patience and Anakin and Ahsoka both being more prone to be always on the move, as Obi-Wan would say, and all that. So a lot of great stuff there we could dive into. But the question I wanted to ask you about the Clone Wars era, mm-hmm. we've talked a little bit about how patience relates to action or inaction. Do you think the Jedi as a whole, the Jedi Council, were too patient during the Clone Wars? Because Yoda's aware that any war is not great, and this is the shroud of the dark side, that there's a war at all. But it seems like they're really like, well, let's defend the rest of the galaxy, or let's defend, you know, from the Separatists, from the Sith, and let's play this out and find out what's going on. The Force will guide us. Do you think that they were too patient? Should they have been more proactive?
I would say yes. And I think that they're starting from the right point. You and I, you're a very vocal about justice for the Jedi. You and I are behind that idea. And you don't want the Jedi racing around the Senate building, yanking senators out because they think they might be causing problems. Or, you know, we hear one of you is a Sith, or we think someone out there in the galaxy is a Sith. We don't necessarily want them to
do that. So line up for mind probes, right? Yeah. That's what they don't want to do.
They don't want to do that. But I think there's something in this idea of, and Star Wars always wants you to maybe look at the other side. You know, we challenge what you described Last Jedi so well as being this movie that kind of challenges some of the core ideals from Star Wars in a way to confirm them. Right. I'm saying that a little clunkier than you do, but,
no, that's it.
I see it like that where it's like, be patient, but then, you know, they got to confirm some stuff they believe, but that their patience collectively is hiding a fear. I think, do they want to face the fact that Sith's behind this? Do they want to face the fact they're losing power and maybe the reasons why, which we know are more likely from within and where the Jedi are now, or maybe a collective grasping so tightly to the ideals of the Order and all those things? And do they want to face that? And maybe they don't. And so the answer is, well, just wait till tomorrow. We'll figure it out tomorrow. And really, they just don't want to face themselves. They don't want to face what they know or they fear about themselves in this situation.
Yeah, I love what you're saying here about fear, because, yeah, they have that great conversation about, you know, that the dark side is already so strong that it's clouding their ability to use the Force. And should they inform the Senate and like, no, our enemies will multiply, right? Like, maybe strategically sound, but it also does sound like, yeah, like that you're not willing to be honest. You're afraid of being perceived as weak, right? There's a fear of a loss of control, or a fear of, you know, even going to Revenge of the Sith, when they're like, well, if Palpatine's a problem, then we're going to have to take over the Senate. And you're just saying, like, to a dark place that leads us. Like, they're also really desperate to avoid that outcome because they so believe in not grabbing power, right? They don't want to be the masters of the galaxy. They want to be, you know, defenders of peace and justice. They want to help when people are in danger. They don't want to control things. And I think there's a fear of like, okay, but if we go against the Senate, then are we going to be grabbing for power?
Yeah. 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 Again, fears. And a lot of it, again, thread and needles, man. It's all so close and why it's so beautiful. And it's like, if they had been a little more, you know, not aggressive, but forward thinking, a step ahead of it, or just realizing where they were more than saying a step ahead of it, I should say, just being present of what actually was happening in Attack of the Clones. You know, Ki-Adi Mundi, mansplaining the hell out of Padme about Dooku. If they had not been in that moment of just seen and not hid behind that shield of patience, they might not have needed to rush in with the clones to save everyone at the Petronaki Arena, which launched this war that was a lost cause in so many ways. Who knows? You know, Palpatine's a that's an adversary, man. You know, I almost said worthy adversary, but I don't think he's worth it. But you know what I mean? Like, that's a powerful, powerful enemy that you're going up against, and this is what he's playing upon, and he's probably playing on, like, you know what, those Jedi. They are patient to a fault sometimes. I'm going to be right in front of them the whole time, and they're not even going to be sure. They're going to debate about whether they should act. He's going to be a clarity of why they're addicted to that.
Yeah, your bumper stickers will keep you imprisoned in my machinations. Yeah, absolutely. This is what I love about it. There's just it's so complex and interesting. And the reason that I sometimes talk about, particularly when we're doing our Clone Wars report, looking at the animated series of Justice for the Jedi, is not just, it's so easy to just go like, well, they were dumb and they made mistakes. But like, okay, but why? And can you see how they were trying to do something good and being something good and failed at it, you know? And that's what Palpatine can take advantage of like, yeah, you're going to twist yourself in knots trying to do the right thing. And I'm going to present you with a situation where it's really difficult to figure out what the right thing is. And I love that perspective that the Clone Wars happen. They don't want to just take power from the Senate and go, no, we say no. We, the Jedi, are in control now. So we say no to that. We're going to go shut down your clones. They don't want to do that because that's grabbing for power. They know that Dooku and perhaps another Sith is out there controlling all this. And they feel some responsibility for that. And as we see in the Clone Wars animated series, the Separatists and the Sith, the droids in particular, not the day-to-day people, but the droid armies, are actively attacking people so they can justify the beginning of the war as defense.
Yeah.
And then I think we really get to what we see in the films, what you're talking about, of like every time they come into a problem, it's like, ooh, this is scary. This is bad. Yeah. Let's meditate. And I think that's, I say it in a jokey way, but I think it is, that's where they really start to fall apart, right? Because it's not a bad thing to be patient and to play it out and to try to see the big picture, but they're relying entirely on that, right? Of let's keep doing something that we know is harmful, that we know is increasing the shroud of the dark side, because we're just playing it out and playing it out and playing it out and trying to find the big picture. And they don't have the big picture until it's too late. And they are cocky that they can't possibly fall, right? I mean, Ki-Adi Mundi, like mansplaining. I think he's Syrian splaining. Yeah. Like, yeah, he's got one in almost every movie, right? Phantom Menace. Like, I don't think the Sith could have returned. Like, Count Dooku was a Jedi. He's a political idealist. I don't think, like, in that whole Ki-Adi Mundi side of it, that cockiness makes them think, like, we're Jedi, patience, we got this down, play it out, find the big picture. And this time it didn't work. They needed to find a different way to act.
Yeah. Yeah. They shouldn't insert a Will Arnett, I've made a huge mistake on my Gito. He turns around and faces his clones.
Oh, I would pay such good money to get the actor of Ki-Adi Mundi suited back up and doing I've made a terrible mistake.
You mentioned cocky, which is the blown up, stretched out, ego-filled version of confidence. And I just think sometimes cocky replaces a lack of confidence. And we're talking about patience, but they're using this patience. This is a big general conversation, I know, but of they're using this patience shield to, and you talk about meditating, right? Well, that's appropriate. That's what they're supposed to do. I think it hides a lack of confidence in themselves as an order. It's like a sports guy. You know, you're training, you know, you're going to take that shot. You might miss, but you know, you did everything right to get to that point, and you're going to take action. You're going to take that shot. They're not willing to take the shot because I think, again, fear, confidence, something's going on, but we've got this. We're going to be patient. We're the Jedi. Come on. And I think it's all a big ball of wonderful emotional confusion in the prequels behind what's going on with the Jedi.
Yeah, I absolutely love it. And, you know, it goes to me of why I really love Last Jedi and why it all works for me is Luke is wrestling with these things of these mistakes and saying, okay, well, I'm going to convince myself that inaction is actually better. And Star Wars has this great conversation of be patient, take your time, know the big picture, have clarity of why you're acting. But I think that sometimes can feel like it's telling a story of not to act. And I just don't think it is. I think Luke's decision is,
yeah,
I need to take the right action and I need to have clarity of what the action is, but simply taking no action was wrong. You know,
yeah,
I stayed on this island because of fear.
Yeah, because again, right, this is again a general, and I don't want to bring up 2017, 2018 discourse again. But yeah, the jokes of a lot of people just wanted Luke to grab that saber from Rey and charge down the hill. That would literally not be, you know, talk about not our Luke. That would be Luke going against everything he learned and who he was. Right now, he's just struggling with what to do and the clarity and all those things. But like, that's why he wouldn't have done that. I mean, he's another reason, but that's why we wouldn't have wanted him to do that. For me, at least my point of view on patience in that moment.
Yeah, absolutely. And and to me, we've talked about some of those great moments where you see the seeds of grumpy Luke of, yeah, I'm not such a bad pilot myself.
Right. Yeah.
Luke had some grump in him even when he was young. Speaking of the sequel trilogy era, do you feel like patience is a part of what Leia is really trying to teach Poe in The Last Jedi and moving forward?
Yeah, I think it's a big part. I think there's some other things there around leadership and sacrifice. And again, what it is to be a hero, you know, dead heroes, dead leaders. She's driving that point home, particularly in The Last Jedi. So yeah, and part of that is patience and patience to slow down and see what is really going on. Our goal is to get out of here on Crait. We're stuck. We can't get out. Luke's out there. Ah, why is he doing this? Let me slow down. We put the blaster aside and let's figure this out. We don't even know. 3PO just pointed out. We can't get out. But it's going to reveal itself. It's very Jedi-like. You and I talk often, the light side is present, the dark side too, but the light side is present everywhere in the Star Wars story. And I think that comes from that patience from Leia.
Yeah, no, I think it's just it obviously Leia is a Jedi in training, mm-hmm. But just a general, absolutely wise person. And I think Leia is so powerful in the Star Wars story because she doesn't have these moments where she falters and says, okay, I can't see the exact right path forward, so I'm simply not going to act for a while. Mm-hmm. She is always dealing with the real galaxy. She is always willing to take an action. But she always has this sense of patience of like, let me see the big picture. And I feel like, especially in the beginning of Last Jedi, that's so much about this bumper sticker I'm on about of patience is the path to the big picture of like, Poe, it's totally understandable and relatable. That dreadnought's right in front of you and we can take it down and it's the fight right now. And maybe there is even an element of truth to that, mm-hmm. You don't want that dreadnought on you no matter what. But what Leia is upset about is you don't see the big picture of, you know, we have a lot of fights to go. Yeah. And then even with Holdo tells him the big picture, right?
Yeah.
Our mission is to survive and inspire other people. And he can't see the big picture. And it's not until Crait that he really starts to use that skill of taking a deep breath, looking around and seeing what the big picture is and what is the actual. It's not a question of taking an action or not, right? And that's almost what Poe's mad about, of like, we're not taking an action. We're not coming up with a cool move or blowing anything up. We're just running. Right. That's not an action. And like, it takes him a while to understand, like, there's no doubt on taking action. Leia and Holdo are extremely clear on what the action is. Survive and be an inspiration so there's more of us so that we can make a difference. But right now, the action we have to take is absolutely to survive. And Holdo even takes a big action when it's appropriate. Yeah. And it's just Poe is needing to slow down and see that big picture and see like, yes, an action is being taken and it's one that is tied not to the battle just in front of you, but to the big battle.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, you look at him in the beginning with Leia, like those dreadnoughts are fleet killers. And it's like, well, you just got our fleet killed, Poe. Of course, you know, we have no fleet now. And it's a painful lesson for Poe to learn. And I'm okay with that in terms of the story of there's some scars on poor Poe's soul because of that impatience. And so I think it's part of the picture there.
Yeah. Yeah. And in one of the ways that just kind of thematically, I really feel like there's such great rhythm between Last Jedi and Empire with these similar kind of issues coming up. About jumping in your cockpit and blowing something up, or jumping in your cockpit with your laser sword, as Luke does. Are there any other moments of patience in Star Wars that you wanted to discuss? That is, of course, not a full list, just some of the big ones for me.
Well, I mean, I can't believe you missed this one, man. It's the greatest example, man. It's in the Battle of Naboo, the approaching droid army, and Jar Jar says the wisest words ever. Steady now. That's patience now. Yes.
I almost put that one in.
I'm sure.
Steady.
There's many discussed, but we'll patience part two is probably needed here at Force Center.
We'll wait for patience part two. Yeah, I was going to throw out the Clone Wars episode Lightsaber Lost with Terrace Nubé helping Ahsoka to slow down and find her blade in the right way and take responsibility. That's a great patience episode.
I mean,
but we've talked about that one a lot. Yeah, but I'm kind of obsessed.
Terrace Nubé is patience personified, right? At this point in his life, because we've seen now we're starting to hear and read about younger Terrace Nubé in High Republic. But man, he is patience with a capital P.
That is right. Terrace Nubé with one of the greatest quotes in Star Wars. He's a fish guy. if you're interested in hearing us go all in on that episode, we've got a great episode of Clone Wars Report. I don't remember how long that one is. Maybe 72 hours. We really like that episode. But Ken, it has been so great to discuss the concept of patience, how important it is to Star Wars, how important it is to Jedi philosophy, its relationship to when to take action, when not to take action, its relationship to cosplaying Qui-Gon Jinn in the airport. So many great ideas of patience. But do you have any final thoughts?
My final thoughts are just take a deep breath, people. Take a deep breath and fall to your figurative knees and wait for that shield to open and the Sith to be destroyed.
Wait for the laser gate. That's going to be our self-help book from Force Center. Ken, do you want to let people know where they can find us?
Absolutely. We're on Twitter at Force Center Pod. We're on Instagram and YouTube as well. Not as active on there, we know, but we're there if you want to find us. Facebook page is Force Center Podcast. We're available on many platforms, Anchor, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, and more. Just search and find us. Like, for instance, we're on Spotify. Merch is available at tpublic.com/user/Force Center. And you can support us at patreon.com/ForceCenter. As announced on the News and Q show on Tuesday, we got a special commemorative poster being made available to our top tier supporters on Patreon. Go ahead and check out that episode or go to patreon.com/ForceCenter if you want to join up and support at the appropriate level. You can follow me at KatNapsok or go to my website, KatNapsok.com. Got a new show I'm so excited about, returning to my rock radio roots. I got a show on Mixcloud called KatNapsok's Pop Rock and Radio. Me and a playlist just presented in old style radio format. Look for that there. Joseph, what else you got cooking?
That sounds so great. Your rock and radio roots, that's, man, that is example of some good DJing right there with that alliteration. For myself, you can find me on social media, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok is at Joseph Scrimshaw. And you can go to my website, josephscrimshaw.com, for all of my other comedy adventures. But for now, for myself, for Ken, for Qui-Gon's knee, this has been Force Center.